You're listening to Here and Now on 89.3 WFPL, Louisville's NPR news station. Fall traditions in Louisville. St. James Art Fair, Trinity, St. Nick's football game, picking pumpkins at Huber's, that one may be more of a challenge this year, and Dracula on stage at Actors Theater of Louisville. The 17th straight annual production of Dracula is happening now at Actors Theater. It's one of the theater's most popular shows. They estimate about 15,000 students will see the show. Just in student performances, 15,000 people, possibly 30,000 total, we understand. That's a big show. It's a big show every year. We have, all those folks will be seeing our guests on stage in that show. We have Rufio Lerma. He plays Count Dracula. Welcome, Rufio.
Thank you very much.
And William McNulty. He plays Van Helsing, the Vampire Hunter. He's also the show's playwright and director. William, thank you very much for coming by.
Happy to be here.
First, let me just ask you, you know, Dracula was originally a character in a novel, came out in 1897. Of all the fictional characters that have come out since then, why do we still care about this character?
He's the first vampire, I think, to be written about. He's an iconic figure, and he's the grandfather of them all. He's a monster. And I think monsters are enormously appealing to people of all ages. Since then, vampires have been sort of interpreted in various ways, you know, as kind of morally ambiguous. Certainly Anne Rice's vampires have been very fascinating, and the vampires in Twilight and the vampires in True Blood and those and all of that. But they all trace their lineage back to this one character who just has enormous power in the human imagination. Also, if you want to go deeper, I think that Bram Stoker wrote him either consciously or unconsciously as the inverted Christ. When you think about how he offers immortal life, he offers the sacrament of blood. We emphasize all the sacraments in our show. As a matter of fact, we have a wedding, we have confession, we have a little girl in a communion dress. So I think there's that aspect too that gives the character that kind of power. Maybe that's getting too literary, but
That's okay. This is NPR. We can do that. we're not afraid of that sort of thing. So talk a little more about how much you were thinking about that because you wrote the adaptation for the show.
Yeah.
How you bring those into
what
the production?
I was thinking about mostly when I wrote this adaptation was creating a horror genre piece for the stage because I'd never seen any play done in the tradition of horror, and B, I thought it was absolutely appropriate for the story of Dracula. I'd seen and heard of a lot of stage adaptations of Dracula. Most of them seemed pretty tame to me, at best, kind of spooky maybe, but not really, really impacting. As some interpret the Count as a sort of romantic figure, a lonely old dead guy looking for his soulmate, and the young heroine being, you know, sort of yearning for him. Others resort to parody. They just create sort of a campy, cartoonish version of the story. I wanted it to be a tale of terror. I wanted it to be about a monster. And I thought that that would also make it popular. I thought it would be appealing to audiences. And so far, so good.
Yeah, and that's certainly been borne out. Rufio, let me ask you this question: as you were looking through the scripts, how do you get ready to play a character like this? Because this character has been so done so widely, so badly, so overdone, so satirized in so many ways. How do you make this guy come to life?
Yeah, it's a great question. One of the first things that appealed to me about this character in the script is that all of these characters are motivated by real things and real feelings. And one of the first things I mentioned to Bill that I love so much about the play is that they're so driven by, you know, real wants that you can really kind of forget that it's a play about monsters and vampires. This is something that keeps coming up, actually, this idea, which I love, that you can really follow people's emotional determination or whatever it is that they're really driving for. It's not surface. It's a real deep thing that all of us can relate to. And So what it is, came up? What it is, came up in the beginning that I was kind of losing sight of that and becoming more of a surface persona, and just keeping it grounded, keeping it real, allows me to kind of bring Dracula out in a way that's my own, in a way that has my own color, and hopefully is unique and different from any other Dracula that's been done before.
So what does Dracula want?
Oh, well, Dracula in this case, he's a very simple want, I think, compared to the other characters. Dracula in this case wants to thrive off of the suffering of others. That's what he needs in this play. And it's pretty much consistent through that. But when I say this, there's a lot of other layers in just that one want. It comes out in different ways throughout the play. And certainly everybody else has their own multi-dimensions as well. They're not just flat personas, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that we try and do a good job to keep it real, mm-hmm. as they say.
Keep some emotional context for it. Well, Bill, let me ask you this question. When you said you're creating a horror play, which was your aspiration, how do you scare a live audience?
Well, you know, there are a number of conventions. We just came from a student matinee, by the way, which if you ever want to see the living personification of pandemonium, just drop by sometime around 10 o'clock in the morning to the Bingham Theater.
And what's the experience like of having showing Dracula to a student population as opposed to just a general audience?
It's what I guess would safely be described as a scream fest. The kids just go wild over it. And, you know, so you do little tricks with them. You turn the lights out and make a lot of scary sounds. There's a lot of blood in the show. There's a lot of, you know, I wanted to make the show not just terrifying, but poignant. And, you know, Rufio was alluding to character, and that's very important to me, to have three-dimensional characters. And the more you identify with a character in a given story of any sort, the more you're going to be moved by what happens to them. So if the character gets scared, you get scared with them. It's really the difference between a good horror movie and a slasher movie, right? In a slasher movie, there's no characters are one-dimensional, they're flat. They're just meat. They're there to be blown up or beheaded or whatever. In a good horror movie, you have characters. You have somebody that you identify with, and when something happens to them, it hits you much more strongly.
Rufio, if the student performances, for example, are, you know, the students have a more immediate and audible response, shall we say, what does that feel like when you're up there and you're doing, you know, you're doing Dracula, you're doing a move, your cape is swirling, and the students just let loose? What's that feel like?
The students are some of the funnest performance minutes I've ever spent on stage, without a doubt, and just getting them excited and terrifying them, becomes a really wonderful feeling, and it just feels like a party, you know. You just have a blast, and I love them. I love those matinees for it, you know.
And they're terrified in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, they have a great time.
It's sort of like Primal Scream therapy. Remember Primal Scream therapy? We're just giving it away.
We're talking with William McNulty and Rufio Lerma from the Actors Theatre production of Dracula. Talk a little bit just the logistics, though, of how you lay out a scene that's supposed to scare an audience.
Well, you build up, there are different ways. I mean, there's one scene in which we build up an enormous amount of tension by just moving very, very slowly in a very quiet room as this gigantic evil creature approaches this poor, frightened woman that's just sort of like a deer frozen in the headlights, and you don't know what's coming next. And when it finally does, when the event finally does pop, you know, it releases a kind of adrenaline in the body, and that creates fictionalized terror, which is different from real terror. You know, we love it in fiction, but we don't really want monsters chasing us in real life.
How do you wipe away all the images of Dracula and vampires, you know, that people come to the theater with?
I think the first scene tells them that this is going to be a very, very, very different approach to the story. In the first scene, a werewolf is chasing a young woman around the stage, and I hate to give this away, but it ends with him biting her on the neck and blood gushing from her throat. So you right away know this isn't the average vampire, you know, romance.
Bill McNulty and Rufio Lerma from Actors Theatre of Louisville, thank you very much for coming by.
Thank you.